It's good to be together again as the work week winds down. If you've been with us, then you'll quickly remember that we're reading about the first of three temptations the devil gave to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. I'll reread those verses now to get this back on your mind amidst your busyness and all of the other content that's entered your mind already today. This is the Word of God to you now in Matthew's Gospel chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And last time I said that in this text, Jesus teaches us that God will protect us from an unhealthy relationship with food and protect us from illicit sexual relationships if we respond to the devil in the same way that Jesus responded to the devil when he was tempted. And I told you what I meant by this lesson that I believe emerges from the biblical text. To be sure, there are multiple people within the sound of my voice that are struggling with enduring temptations to overeat or not to eat at all, as well as to engage in illicit, that is, forbidden sexual relationships. This could be to devour pornography in its various forms, to engage in an affair, to be enticed into a same-sex or multi-sex relationship, as well as to have multiple partners in the bedroom. Let's not bury our heads in the cement, Christians, and pretend that illicit sex is not real. It's a very real temptation, including for believers within the church. How are you doing with it? And so let us acknowledge that both unhealthy relationships to food and illicit sexual relationships exist. And let's learn from Jesus how to stay protected from both of them. In the text, the devil tempts Jesus to satisfy his physical hunger. In our experiences, the devil tempts us to satisfy our physical hunger also. And we have a natural and God-given physical hunger for food. God made us all with a need to be fed food and drink water. Without food and water, we cannot live. We have a natural and God-given physical hunger for sex. God made us with a natural desire for a person of the opposite sex with which we can enjoy sexual intercourse. I do not believe God made anyone with the natural desire for same-sex or multi-sex attraction. That's only a lie fed to us by the devil. Homosexuality, bisexuality, and the like all come. Anything but heterosexuality. They all come out of a distorted and sinful view on sexuality created by the sinful nature within us, and then collectively within the culture and the society's sinful nature within which we find ourselves. The culture says that all forms of human sexuality are accepted by God, indeed created by God for our pleasure. But God in the Bible wholeheartedly disagrees. He condemns with clarity anyone who practices sex outside of the context of one man and one woman married to one another. If you do not believe me or you want to study this further, write to me today and ask for the biblical texts, Mark, at markaswallow.com. That's M-A-R-K at M-A-R-K-A-S-W-A-L-L-O-W.com. Or God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. These addresses will be repeated at the close today. Bottom line, what I have stated are not just my opinions. They are God's, as presented right here in the Bible. Any fair reading of the Bible will make this more than abundantly clear to you. Even though God gave us the desire for food and the desire for sex, He gave us something far more important than either food, drink, or sex. And do you know what it is? He gave us a desire for Him. What is more important than food and sex? God is. And we see this in the response of Jesus to the devil. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That was Matthew 4, verse 4. Easy to remember, Matthew 4, 4. You see, on the surface, the temptation is for Jesus to eat. Satan says, "Command that these stones become bread." But that is only the surface-level temptation. What the devil demands goes deeper than that. I love how pastor and radio Bible teacher over on Grace to You, John MacArthur, puts this in his readable commentary on Matthew 4. He writes, quote, "The purpose of the temptation was not simply for Jesus to satisfy his physical hunger, but to suggest that his being hungry was incompatible with his being the Son of God." Unquote. MacArthur is right. What the devil is really getting at is Jesus' trust in God to provide for him. John MacArthur continues, quote, "Jesus was being tempted to doubt the Father's word, the Father's love, and the Father's provision." End of quote. Let me paraphrase Satan. "Jesus, come on. You're the Son of God. You do not deserve to be treated like this. Look at you, going hungry. You've got it tough, Jesus. God's got you starving to death. You deserve at least some food, right? God demanded this of you? Is he really to be trusted? I mean, really, Jesus?" Satan's temptation here to Jesus is reminiscent of what he said to Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, verse 1. "Indeed, has God said, 'You shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" What the devil does is to plant doubt in Eve and then Adam's mind about the reliability and trustworthiness of God. And in both cases, he uses food to tempt. And the devil says, "Satisfy yourself. Come on, you deserve it. Forget about God. Feed yourself." And the same devil whispers the same message to us as well. "Satisfy yourself. You deserve it. Forget about God. He will not provide for you." This is the nature of the temptation we receive, each one of us as individual believers in the body of Christ. This temptation is for the individual, and it comes most subtly but powerfully when we are alone and inside of our minds and hearts. In the darkness, in the quiet, out of the public eye is where unhealthy relationships to food and illicit sexual relationships thrive. Now, yes, sometimes we observe over and under eating in public, and sometimes we observe abhorrent sexual behavior in public as well. But today I speak primarily to Christians, and tragically we have figured out how to sin privately such that our public reputation can remain intact even as we indulge our physical passions privately. So that how I eat at home is different than how I eat in public. And how I think about sex at home and act on it is different than how I treat my spouse in public, discuss singleness and marriage for those of you who are not yet married, or talk about sexuality with others, even within the church. And so when the devil puts the temptation before us, go ahead and pig out. You deserve it. What's a few extra pounds? Or, look at you, you big slob. How are you ever going to find a husband in your shape? All the other women are so fit, and you are so fat. Porn never hurt anyone, says Satan. Come on, you deserve it. So stressed out from life. This marriage is no fun. Or you're single, and you're never going to get married anyway, so just click on the image. Watch this short video. Clear your memory later. How about a little soft porn then? Open Instagram on your phone. Go ahead, pleasure yourself. When the devil comes tempting, what do we do? How can we resist so great a temptation? And how can we resist these temptations consistently, constantly, and day after day? As always, my answer is to look to Jesus, to listen to Jesus, and to learn from him. And what does Jesus say to Satan? Listen again to the text. Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The Lord quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He stands on the promises of the Word of God, and he puts into practice what the Bible says. Jesus acknowledges that food is good, bread alone. And Jesus acknowledged in the Bible that sex in marriage between one man and one woman is good. But he then emphasized that meeting one's physical needs is not more important than obeying God, depending on God, and trusting in God. God is more important than food and sex. God himself is more valuable than even having our physical needs met. Jesus' response to the devil says this, "And I submit to you today that we ought to, by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God within us Christians, we ought to say the same to the devil." We're not going to satisfy ourselves with what we think we deserve when we think we darn well deserve it, despite what our Father God says. We are not going to do that. We will also resist, and we will trust God to supply our needs in his timing and according to his holy way. We are going to do what Jesus did. We are going to say what Jesus said. We will know the Word of God well enough to defend ourselves from temptation when it comes our way, as it will today and tomorrow, just as it did yesterday and the day before that. The Lord commands us to not only consider our bodily physical wants, but to consider and give precedence to our spiritual needs, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus demonstrates that his being hungry was not incompatible with being the Son of God. And we must demonstrate to the devil that our having a physical need yet unfulfilled is not incompatible with being the sons and daughters of God. God is right. God is good. God loves us, and God will provide for us. God is to be trusted, and his way is always the best way. I want to press this a little further, but I will have to wait until next week to do that. Apply what you have learned thus far. Follow Jesus' example. Resist temptation this weekend. And then join me on Monday for God is...